This is Perspectives, a weekly public affairs presentation by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 99.7 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens.
We turn our focus to the Ottawa County Community Action Agency. And Barbara Koenig and Megan Quantas of the what is now called OCHA is on the other side of our table this morning. Before we go into some of the activities that OCHA will be doing, let us do a little bit of a primer. What exactly is the Ottawa County Community Action Agency? What does it do, and how does it benefit citizens in Ottawa County?
So our mission is to reduce the effects of financial hardship by promoting self-sufficiency and empowering individuals and families to achieve economic independence. So we have four main focuses. We do food assistance programs. We do utility assistance programs. We have some energy savings programs and some home rehab programs.
This is a duh question. I would assume the responsibilities of OCHA have not only increased, but have also been more challenging over the last few years.
Yes. To both of those, yes.
In what ways?
Funding is changing, and the availability of funding has changed, and we're seeing more need just across the board for different activities.
Ottawa County, of course, has been growing in terms of population, which is good, have more people around. Unfortunately, more people around means more people with needs.
Correct.
Definitely.
So how does the agency address this? Does it do more in terms of letting people know what they are? Or do you work with maybe some frontline organizations, some nonprofits that are in the front lines that say, hey, you see the people with the sign saying we'll work for food, they direct them to you guys, don't they?
Right.
Yeah, we do a lot of collaboration with all of the nonprofits, because funding's always changing and stuff like that. It gets confusing of what we offer at one time. So we kind of always know who around can do what, so that if someone comes to us with something that we can't help with at the time, we know who to send them to, who to connect them to. There's a huge network of nonprofits in the area that all work together really well to kind of make sure all the needs are met as best as possible.
It is one thing to note about needs in urban areas, such as here in Holland, up in the Grand Haven area, maybe Jenison, because it's close, its proximity to Grand Rapids. But when you talk about rural areas, I'll just throw out names. Conklin, Fillmore Township, down in Jamestown. You don't think about them having quote unquote needs, but their needs there might be just the same or a little different, but just as challenging, isn't it?
100%. That's actually been one of our struggles over the last few years. Is it's easy to get information out in Holland or Grand Haven or even Jenison, but how do we reach like Coopersville or part of Nunica is in Ottawa County? How are we reaching those extended areas? So we've been working to really try to expand the information that's getting out there so people understand what needs we can assist with.
A question I pose to our friends over at Gateway Mission and Community Action House here in Holland, I'll pose it to both of you, is the fact that is part of the challenge in meeting the needs one of having people admit they need a need, sort of park their pride on the shelf and step up saying, help.
I think sometimes that is a challenge for people, especially who have never been in a position to have to ask for help. Speaking personally, I mean, asking for help is difficult. And, when you're in a situation where whether job loss or sickness, some people don't know where to start either. So,
and I think to a certain extent, and correct me if I'm wrong, those who are
hesitant about asking, afraid or, you know, embarrassed maybe, are more prevalent than a minority perhaps who try to take advantage of the system. It is the ones who try to take advantage of the system that paints a bad picture of those in need, isn't it?
Yeah, we get that. We've had that question frequently, I think, of, you know, how many people are coming, you know, frequently. And it's really rare that you see people that are maxing out, you know, what we're able to help them with. It's one, maybe two times people just, you know, need to get back on that point where, you know, they're back on their feet again so they can kind of start from ground zero. The challenge for that is, you know, we're completely grant funded. So we, our entire agency is funded by state and federal grants, and then we do our one fundraiser. So if there's restrictions in a grant, sometimes it can take, you know, a time or two to get somebody back to that point where they can kind of take over and be self-sufficient again.
Coming up, a very important event involving OCHA, and some might say, well, it's at the end of winter, and it probably maybe might be more effective in the beginning of winter. But explain what Walk for Warmth is and why is it sort of at the end of the winter season than maybe at the beginning.
We used to do it in February. We pushed it out to March, hoping that the weather was a little bit more cooperative to encourage people to participate. And the reason we do it in winter is symbolic to remind people that when it's cold outside and people are struggling to pay their utilities, that can be detrimental to them. So we partnered with EV Construction last year, which is on 6th Street here in downtown Holland, and they hosted our event last year, and they'll do that again this year. And we have bonfires and snacks, food truck, all kinds of things planned. And it's just an opportunity to not only obviously request donations, but to encourage people to find out more about our agency.
So it will be starting at the EV site, which is basically right across the street from Window on the Waterfront Park here.
Correct, yes.
And it's just walking around downtown or what?
So our goal, weather dependent, of course, is to go through Window on the Waterfront. We made that switch last year, and our participants really enjoyed getting to see that area of Holland who maybe don't get down here. Walking downtown can be difficult on a Friday or a Saturday because it's so busy. And we don't want to interfere with business, you know, that's occurring on a regular basis there. So, yeah, it starts at 6 o'clock and goes till 8, and we're calling it our glow walk. So we're encouraging people to wear, like, glow sticks and neon clothing, and we have a photo booth, just trying to make it a fun family event.
And, again, it's basically not only awareness of the need for those to help them pay their utility bills, most notably heat, but also electricity as well. But it's also a fundraiser.
Correct. Yes. Yep. So businesses that want to sponsor, people that want to participate, we would welcome all types of participation. The importance of the funds raised for Walk for Warmth is that it usually kind of extends our ability to help people that maybe it doesn't fall into a grant. If a grant says that you can't make more than 200% of the federal poverty level, we might have somebody who's at 201%. And so this allows us to assist them, and it gives us a little more flexibility on the things that we can assist with. We have grants that are specific to helping with water, sewer, or maybe electric. So this kind of extends out beyond either grants or community partnerships that we have.
It's a 2-mile walk, according to the website. And last year, according to the website, almost $11,000 was
correct.
Raised.
Yep.
And it helped 224 families. How long has Walk for Warmth been going on in Ottawa County? Can you, you know, sort of guess?
Over 20 years, I'm pretty
okay, so
sure.
It's not, this is not a first-time program.
No, not at all.
And I know that in previous years, before UV sort of helped out a little bit, it was in Zeeland.
Yes. Correct, yes. Mm-hmm. And we made the switch strictly because we serve a lot of people in the Holland area. And the ability to have kind of some inside and some outside space for our participants was important to us. And so we just kind of looked at some of the resources that we have and the connections we have, and we're able to connect with EV, and they've been a great sponsor for us.
Dare I say, and I, well, a lot of times I'll dare say things, and maybe you shouldn't, but I will. Goal $60,000. To me, that's a little ambitious.
We like to be ambitious. It's really important to have these funds, like we were saying. Right now, we're pretty limited on the funds we have for our utility assistance. We're able to help Zeeland BPW and Holland BPW customers through grants from those organizations. But the other funds that we have to help with maybe SEMCO or Consumers Energy are extremely limited.
The important thing is people getting the help. It doesn't matter if it is from OCHA or, you know, the Red Kettle people or anybody. I mean, that's 100%, the important thing.
Yes. And that's something we've talked about a lot over the last probably 3-4 weeks, is how can we make sure that we're not duplicating services so that all the needs can be met. So we've been having conversations with Community Action House and Holland BPW and Zeeland BPW to see how we can expand our and change our programs to do that.
For more information on Walk for Warmth, weatherization assistance, utility assistance, or more with the Ottawa County Community Action Agency, online, myottawa.org/community/CAA, and the phone number, and I'll repeat this one, 616-393-4433, 616-393-4433. And that's Perspectives for this week. From the 99.7 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you very much for listening, and join us again next week at this time for more Perspectives.